Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
The What Podcast, the podcast for Bonnaroopians, by Bonnaroopians. There's Barry Corder with some weird things on his face. There's Laura Taco with normal things on his face. I'm Brad Steiner. Welcome to the What Podcast, for Bonnaroopians, by Bonnaroopians. Barry, what has happened to Dad's face? Are you okay? Is everything all
you
right?
You know, it's so funny you asked. Years ago, I showed up at my son's baseball practice, and I had been painting the house. So
is that what that is? You've got paint on your
face?
Well,
I looked like you would imagine, and one of the other daddies looked at me as I walked up, and he said, "You just gave up, haven't you?" It cut me right to it.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. I've just given up.
Yeah. I do like how, though, you referred to them all as daddies.
Oh, yeah. It was
all
a bunch of
daddies. What kind of baseball game did you go to there, Barry?
It was a bunch of daddies.
Was it?
It was a bunch of daddies.
Okay. All right.
Was this in New York?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is, I don't know. It's just, you know, we're all doing it, I guess. Taco, look, he's trimmed his three times and it's still right back where
it's coming right back out.
No, he's trimmed it three times since the show started and it's coming right back out.
Yeah, I can't do that, so it's just kind of figuring this out, and it itches and probably not going to keep it, so we'll see. And my wife hates it, so it's kind of a fun thing.
Right, so you've turned into Letterman, because that's what Dave does. Like, he's done the whole beard and he says he only keeps it because his wife and kid hate it.
That's exactly right. And I watched a couple of Between Two Ferns bloopers the other night, and Zach called him Crystal Meth Santa.
Yeah. Hit a little too close to home, didn't it, Barry? Close to home.
I laughed because it felt right.
So today is a weird, special, one-off episode with Barry's best friend these days. Because maybe not just because they live so close to each other, but they're in the same age demographic. Mitch Ryder.
Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Devil with a Blue Dress On. You know, it's funny. I was thinking earlier, and I'm going to take a minute, if you'll allow this. I tease you guys. I sent you some notes. We were talking back and forth today, and I said something like, let's make sure
You sent notes?
Notes, texts.
I didn't read any of that.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't
read any
of that.
Yeah, you know. Notes, some of that. Look, I'm not going to say interwebs. That's the dorkiest.
Okay.
I hate people who say interwebs and Google things and whatever. But I sent you some notes that said, let's do this when everything's Jake. And you made fun of me. And I do that on purpose. Bob's your uncle. All these kind of old-timey things. And it occurred to me, I didn't really mean to be that guy, but then I thought, how perfect, because we've got Mitch Ryder coming on. I do mean to do this on purpose, because I think it's important that we recognize and we pay homage, if you will, to some of the old stuff. So Lord, I'm going to keep doing it.
Do you know what "let's keep it Jake" means?
No, I thought that was an autocorrect. So I was like trying to think, imagine what he tried to type.
Because he never
to
can
turn
type
into Jake.
He can never text anything correctly to begin with. So
well, that's true. That is true.
So when, I mean, you might as well just, hey, young fella, come on down to the Nickelodeon. Spend two bits, get into the Nickelodeon.
Two bits. Like,
what?
Fair enough.
How backwards do you want to go with your speech? How far back do you want to go?
That's a good question. I don't know. I will say this, and I'm very serious about this. My kids, when they went away to college, my notes to them, I would just randomly say everything Jake. And I figured...
Who is Jake?
You've never heard that?
I don't know a Jake.
I've never heard that.
God. You guys, see, this is the thing. I feel like it's my obligation to educate you young whippersnappers.
All right, well, educate me. Tell us what it means.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get to what it means.
It just means, is everything okay? Is everything okay?
And it was, you know, it turns out the letters O and K less than J-A-K-E. You could have just saved more time saying, is everything okay?
Same with Bob's your uncle. You never heard that one either. You still don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
I just see, I'm going to keep doing it. It's, I feel an obligation, so that when, you know, you read a book, God forbid you should ever read a book, you know, get your head out of your phone. Maybe.
Yeah. But what year do I need to start from before I start getting to Bob's your Jake or Jake's your uncle or whatever the hell these things are? Like Civil War or. When does this book need to exist to hear these kind of phrases that just must be so apparent in the over 70 crowd?
Well, this is kind of my point, and I bring it up because of our guest, Mitch Ryder. Literally, my goodness, we're going to talk a little bit. This guy was the last guy to sing with Otis Redding. Jimi Hendrix asked him to be his lead singer in a new band he was putting together. Didn't work out.
My old job.
Yeah. James Brown and he were friends. I mean, so my point is, I guess why I'm trying to bring this all around together is you need to know this sort of, I feel you need to know this sort of history to understand how we've gotten to where we are. You know, I mean, if you don't know the past, if you don't know the guys that got us to where we are, Bruce Springsteen ended his concerts for many, many years with a medley of Mitch Ryder hits. The ones you all know, Jenny with a Blue,
he also sings, you know, Santa Claus is Coming to Town every show. So let's not say that the Bruce Springsteen set is the arbiter of everything that we need to know in musical history.
No, but my point is, if you don't know this stuff, you think Tame Impala invented music or whoever picked somebody. You know what I mean? That's my point.
I get it. And it's exactly right. And the more that we talked to him in this conversation that we had the other day, the more that I wanted to keep talking to him. And unfortunately, my phone was like literally on death's doorstep while a massive torrential tornadic storm was happening outside. So it was cut short a little bit sooner than I would like. I would like to have him back because this was just sort of like wet my palate on all the things that I sort of want to talk to him about and ask him about. Because, I mean, how many times are we going to be able to get a road into the past like that?
You're right. That's exactly. And that's my point. I mean, you're making fun of me and I get it. And I do it on purpose. You know that. I promise you, you will hear everything is Jake at some point pretty soon. And you're going to be like, oh yeah, Barry's not exactly wrong. But anyway,
okay. Has there been anything that I've said that you've said to yourself, you know what, Brad, he's onto something here?
Probably not.
I know it.
And it's fun, and I do it on purpose. But point being, a guy like Mitch, man, that connection, as you just said, and you picked up on it quickly in the conversation, and I mean, that guy is so connected to everything you love, R&B, blues. I mean, the stories that he has with James Brown, unbelievable. I mean, this guy.
That's the thing. I think that you probably sit around with him for hours just hearing him tell stories. I would hope that he'd be whittling, though. I feel like everyone, if I talk to him next time, he should be whittling while he ruminates.
It's amazing to talk to him. He is the most complicated man I've ever interviewed. I think I've said that to you before.
I don't know what that means. What do you mean by that?
Mitch started at 14, and just the stories and the history. He was an integral part of Detroit music in particular, but not Motown, if that makes sense. So, I mean, as Motown is developing, Mitch, everyone thought he was part of Motown, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But he was very much part of the R&B, the rhythm and blues movement. James Brown was asked, who's the white James Brown, basically? And he immediately said Mitch Ryder.
What a weird question, though, by the way. I remember.
Yeah, I know, but I know there was so many.
I know you brought this up before, but I mean, this is how times are different. I mean, imagine if somebody looked at Kanye. Who's the white Kanye?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
I think that we'd all be like, this person needs to please leave immediately. But I like this chat, and I want to come back to it. Before we get into it, though, we probably should read off some Patreons and thank them for their enormously gracious support through all of these months and trying times, which, by the way, can we just as a public just stop saying the term trying times? In these trying times, in these difficult times, I just can't listen.
Challenging times.
In these challenging times, I just can't listen to it anymore. It's driving me nuts.
Taco, can you use the list that I read last time?
Yeah.
Because I don't have the current one in front of me.
I know, but you're in a different outfit.
I don't have the current one in front of me because you caught me off guard.
The list hasn't changed.
Yeah, we actually have one new. We have a new Patreon joined yesterday.
Oh, what's her name?
Hang on, I can tell you. She signed up but won't get charged until the 1st.
Melody? Something like that.
Madison. Oh, this is good. Hudzico?
They make it easier and easier for us every time, don't they?
They just make it up names for us to read.
But a new Patreon.
Boy, it really would be the best investment of $2 that you could just to try and get Barry to read some of these names.
How did this all of a sudden fall to me? When did that happen?
I am almost willing to spend my $10 so you can read five of the most ridiculous names.
I know. I got I'm not going to say them. When did it fall to me?
But we have a new tier on Patreon.
$2
a month.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way, if you are a Patreon, the tiers, we appreciate your support. The tiers are going to change here in the next couple of weeks. It won't affect you at all, but for any sort of new Patreon that joins for the upcoming season next year, we will have some different tiers, a little bit more streamlined than it was this past year. But Barry, if you want to run through them.
What I was trying to say is we have a new tier, and it's for $2 a month. It's a virtual thumbs up.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So we say your name, and we give you a virtual thumbs up?
This gets you your name read on the air by Barry, which is why this name is so great.
Okay.
So, sign up and put in the most complicated name you can think of for Barry to read.
Yes, and then we'll give you a thumbs up. Now, if you give more money, do you get a double thumbs up?
Well, it goes from the it goes from the thumbs up to the virtual high five, the virtual fist bump, because, we don't do handshakes.
Gotcha.
And then the virtual hug. All those are sold out because we sent out all the merch and everything for that. Mm-hmm. But for the virtual thumbs up, you get, your name read, you get the secret shows that we do. You get the live streams. Yeah. You get all the exclusive content for $2.
How much money does it cost to have some virtual naked time?
Oh, that's going to be on OnlyFans.
Oh, wrong site.
Yeah, so that's different from the Patreon. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Barry's the one to look up for that, at BarryJC. yeah, so some virtual physical contact you can be a part to. Now, you want to go through some of the names there, Barry? You got it?
I'm still looking for them.
Oh, my God. Well, why don't we do this? We'll do the interview. We'll talk to Mitch Ryder, and then we'll come back to it. How about that?
And then Russ will have to send it to me.
Oh, God.
I've emailed it to you.
That's what I was looking for.
Right.
I can email it to you again.
You're
encroaching on Brad territory. Oh, where okay. You never save anything. You just ask.
I know.
To send
you
it
kids.
Again.
You kids. You yeah. Darn kids.
All right, here we go. Mitch Ryder, the lead singer of whatever it was. Mitch Ryder, Devil with the Blue Dress, and so many hits on the what podcasts.
We're talking to Mitch Ryder, of course. Brad, I don't know if you know, Mitch actually played Ichiku.
That's right. They changed the name. Yeah, I did so well, they changed the name.
Ichiku, for those who don't know, became Bonnaroo. Ichiku didn't do very well, if I remember right, but it proved to... Ashley Capps that farm was a pretty good place for a festival, so it became Bonnaroo.
But was Ichiku just a complete organizational disaster from your point of
no,
view?
No, it was the mosquitoes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Once they solved that problem, then they changed the name.
Ichiku was probably a good name then.
Well, Bonnaroo is actually the name of a mosquito killer.
That's so fascinating you said the mosquitoes, because for over a decade, Barry and I have, every year, we look around and we're like, you know what's amazing about this farm? There's no bugs.
There might seem like two.
Two. We saw a skunk 2 years ago. That's the closest we've gotten to a bug.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
But isn't that something that I wanted to add that link? And also, Brad, to your question, and I want to ask Mitch about it, but he does, what, once a year at least, sometimes twice a year, you go over to Europe and perform for a month. So this quarantine or this pandemic has impacted that, but also...
Yeah, right now they're not letting Americans into Germany, which is where my label is in Berlin, my management's in Berlin. And we can't get over there right now. They wouldn't let us in. However, we have a tour booked and sold and planned for February, March. And I'm hoping that either they come up with a vaccine or something dies down so we can do the tour. Because right now, sitting around in America... doing nothing. Well, I'm not actually doing nothing. Barry, as you know, I'm in the studio, and that is a blessing. I swear that's a blessing.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. That was the second.
Yeah,
that was the second thing I wanted to talk about. You're recording a brand new album, and this is, you're pretty excited about it, right?
So far, it's been really good. And, coming, a lot of people don't know that I live in Georgia now. But I'm from Michigan, spent my whole life there. And we always had this sort of a false pride thing about music. We were the best. And I think it was built on the Motown tradition because they were super, super label. Brought a lot of acts up. And so we were always in Detroit anyway, thinking, wow, even though I play all over the country, we thought we were the king. And like my choice of word there, I almost said.
You can say it.
You can say it. That's right. You said worse.
Okay. So what amazed me when we started putting this album together down here, I couldn't believe the talent that's just bleeding to be in the studio. I know up in Nashville, I know I've got a lot of guys from Detroit moved down there. and not just from Detroit, but from everywhere. And you can't, it's hard to get work up there. So we're finding people wanting to come down here from Nashville. That's quite a drive, hour 45, so they can find work. And so I was blessed that way. When I went to choose instruments for the recording, some of the most incredible talent is on my album at this point. And we're just probably about halfway through where we want to be with it. We've got 7 songs done, and we're looking to do 16 so we can kind of pick and choose. And, there's no time limit, which is good. Because
are you doing most of this from your house? Is that what you said?
No. Okay. I'm actually going into a studio that FEMA, they disinfect it before I go in and after I leave. So
he's actually doing it, Brad, here in Chattanooga at the Songbird Studio.
No kidding.
I think we can go ahead and say, yeah.
It's very, very intimate, but it's also, there's enough space in there. We never have more than 4 people in the whole studio at one time. So we have a lot of spacing. I wear a mask in there, except when I sing or rob a bank. And it's working out. You know, we're very, very cautious because I'm not a middle-aged man anymore. So I have to worry about my health. And I do have 1 or 2 of the 4 pre-existing conditions they talk about, and so I need to be very careful. And I've been in the studio multiple times now with no after effects, and so it's a very safe environment, and the people I'm working with are very knowledgeable and talented, and it's been a fulfilling experience. And it sure as heck beats sitting around the house wondering what to do, because you know, you can't, this industry, that live entertainment that I've made my living on for 51 years, it's probably gone for, if it ever comes back, for a couple of years. And I'm watching the industry try to imagine and create different sort of outlets to earn money from artists performing. But nothing's worked yet. And now you see big arena type things with organized sports. And they're having to, those fake cardboard fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
it. I can't wait for the concert series where they start adding fake crowd noise too. Because if it was not awkward for sports, imagine how awkward it's going to be when they start trying to pump in fake anima and pyrotechnics for fans.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll let Great White do that.
Yeah. Can I let me insert just real quick, because I want to talk about the record, and I think it's interesting, Brad. I've talked to Mitch many, many times, and so
we for people who our friend. Did he go to get another?
Oh, he went probably went to the restroom because he's been drinking his PBRs. So
yeah.
This is not unusual. unusual.
That was the first beer I was aware of, was Pabst Blue Ribbon.
So Taco, Lord Taco sort of operates a lot like, I don't know, your drunk grandfather who just sort of wanders in and out of the room.
Keeps his hands off my kids, I'm safe.
Somebody's getting a storm. So what I was going to say, just a quick sort of thing about this record, and Brad, I don't know. I mean, Mitch and I have talked many times. Mitch has stories about his times with James Brown, Jimi Hendrix. I mean, the history is unbelievable. And what's interesting about this record, right, Mitch, is you're bringing all of those influences that you've had over the years, right? I mean, you're known for Devil with a Blue Dress On and Jenny Take a Ride and DC Rider, but this is, you're doing some jazz, some blues, all of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You can only fit so much of that onto one recording. If you were an avid Mitch Rider fan, you would, number one, be aware of the fact that I have 34 CDs to my credit. Seven of those don't, they're live recordings. So 34 minus 7 leaves you 20-something. I don't have enough fingers in front of me. And all of those touched on really different parts of music. I never really got pigeonholed into one little box, which is what they like to do in the business. So-and-so, oh yeah, the R&B singer, so-and-so. Oh yeah, the high rocker, so-and-so, you know. And so if you can't put a title on something, it's not easily accessible. So the name Mitch Ryder has been scattered over all these different kinds of music, especially when you listen to the European collection, the stuff I did, the 5 albums out of Hamburg, 6 albums, and the other 7 that have come out of Berlin, and then there were 2 in France. So those touched on all these different parts of me. I love music, and I've done.
Is it more? Right,
yeah, it's a storm.
That's right there.
The storm is in. The storm is in Barry's brain.
No kidding. when you're making a decision on a song, an album, are you asking yourself what kind of you know genre or format you want it to be, or are you saying I'm going to allow the song to sort of live where it needs to live, and I'll worry about genre later?
Well, I don't think specifically about, for example, a country with music that is indigenous to that country. However, I find myself somewhere in my mind pulling rhythms, drum rhythms, bass lines, guitar parts from throughout my travels that I've heard and remembered. And so I'll take that information and create a song around it. And then somebody will say, oh, well, that sounds like a Slovakian polka, you know. And I'm going, well, I'm sorry, that's not what I intended. But, you know, it's this guitar line just really appealed to me. And that's how it ended up. And so I've gotten a lot. Well, to get back to Barry's question, the album contains as much diversity as you can have in the limitation of information that you can put on one recording. Now, there are no longer limitations because, I mean, if you want a CD, I know what we used to do with the old LPs. When we got done with them, we'd put them in the oven and they would curl up in the form of a bowl and we would use them for ashtrays. I don't know what happens now with CDs when you microwave them or burn them, but apparently now that you just stream your music, you can have an album that has 150 songs on it, I guess, if you're capable of creating them, you know. Would I be right or wrong?
Yeah, you can put them out. Yeah, we talked about it on this show that there are
my Spotify playlist has thousands of songs on it at a time. That's the new LP.
And that's exactly what we talked about, Mitch, is that, you know, nobody wants to hold it to a particular genre anymore. We all listen to different things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Me too, because I love different things. Right. I'm glad that, you know, other people feel that way now because it was getting pretty rough. However, I have to say that when I was inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame, I did accept that as an honor. That's a tough nut to crack. And, I was welcomed into that club. And
pretty sure you're the only white guy in there, right?
Well, living as they
only I. That's right.
I'd like to point out the fact that I'm still living.
that's a key word. I'm sorry, I left that out. Yeah, kind of important.
So I have some skill sets in that genre of music. The pure saintly sounding clarity of the 1965 through 69 Mitch Ryder is not with me anymore. Not so much because of age, as you might suspect, but You know, I did have the throat operation a couple of years ago, Barry. And things have changed, but I can still sing pretty. I can really sing pretty, but it's a different sound. And it's not what I had before having the throat operation. I'm just glad, you know, there was a lady up in at Motown. She got throat cancer, and she died. And I'm glad that, you know, I didn't die. I mean, I'm glad that I can still sing.
Can you tell the story, Mitch? Because it really, I still think about it. I never thought about it until you put it this way. You guys, you and the Detroit Wheels were going to open for, I don't remember which English band. And you kind of got mad because the girls only wanted to hear English bands.
Yeah.
And can you tell that story? It's one of my favorites.
Well, it was unfortunately Dave Clark. And at the time, we were the hottest local band that they had seen forever. Motown acts would come to this venue, and we would headline over them, even though we didn't have a record. And they were coming to do their hits, you know. He was very popular, so we got the nod to be able to open for our producer had something to do with it in New York to open for Dave Clark. And they put us in these little dressing rooms, you know, the old Masonic Temple, and the windows were like little cracks. They weren't windows you can raise up and down. They're just little wind windows that you wind them and they open up that much. And there was no room to even put your head out. But all the girls in Detroit falling in love with the Brit, which we hated and still hate today for that reason. The simple fact that they were British made them popular, right? Little haircuts and that accent. In fact, the number one radio station in Detroit actually hired a British guy for prime time disc jockey simply because of the way he talked. I mean, that's how stupid those Detroiters were at that time. So we were pissed off about that to begin with. And then the fact that we had to, you know, be stuck in that hot dressing room. So I just tried to see to get some fresh air. I stuck my hand out the window by accident, and 1,000 girls began to scream. And I'm going, what the? That's right. And so I said, hey, guys, watch this. And I stuck my hand out, and they'd scream again. And I stuck it out, and they'd scream again. And we looked at each other, and we said, this is bullshit, man. We're going to burn these motherfuckers. We got to do this. So we went down to open for Dave. I called poor Dave after that night. And God, we did everything we knew. Everything I had learned coming up through the Black Club as a singer, everything I had known about onstage performance by watching James Brown, everything the boys in the band loved about urban music, everything they loved about rock and roll, I took off my clothes. We switched instruments. The drummer would play bass. The bass player would play guitar, on and on and on. I would leap around like some kind of half-naked moon dancer. And we got done. We were exhausted. We went over like 15 minutes. And the girls went nuts. And cool. So we left. And we were walking past them as they came out to the stage, and we just let a collective like that. And when they went on stage, we stood by the side to watch and see if we had poisoned the water enough. And we did. We had stolen the cell phone because they got out there and did their very British thing, just standing straight, playing and looking and shaking your head side to side like this, like Ray Charles with eyes, you know. It was weird. So
I love that story. And the other and one more the James Brown dropping to your knees.
James was, yeah, he's a funny guy. Or was a funny guy. We knew each other, and so I came. He came to Detroit to play, and I went to see him. And I had this double knock on the door. The door opened, and James is sitting across the room under one of those big. Do you remember those hair dryers that looked like the nose of a rocket ship? You know, he was under one of them. And so I walk in, and I'm, James, it's Mick. How you doing? And he goes, can't hear. Oh, can't hear. Come a little closer. So I walk about halfway across the room. I said, James, it's Mick. How you doing? Got that big grin. He goes, can't hear. Come a little closer. I get like maybe 2 feet from him. He goes, James, it's Mick. How the fuck are you doing? Can't hear. Oh, I get down in front of him, looking up at him, on my fucking knees. James got his crap in the bathroom. That's exactly where he wanted me. Yeah. On my knees in front of him. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. You know, you make me think about something really interesting, considering you had so much interaction with urban music, if that's even what we call it anymore, but you had so much exposure to maybe black artists and black culture. And while so much was going on in the world, so yeah. much was changing around you, James Brown being part of a giant movement for civil rights, vis-a-vis what's happening today, I gotta imagine it's a very odd perspective that you have on both bookends of it.
Well, my association with my black friends in Detroit was well into the unrest there that culminated in the riots that were occurring in Detroit. We were all aware of it. Me and the members of my group, I'm talking about the Pep Small, the black group I was with, and this is going to sound weird, but we wanted to shield ourselves from, we weren't thinking civil rights. We were thinking that money in America solves every problem you might have. And so our combined goal was success, tons of money, rise above the fray, you won't be involved, because money in America speaks the truth. And we all believe that any civil rights matters that were due or forthcoming could be handled by claiming huge amounts of money and success. And to some degree, that's true. But as I became famous and became more aware of the gravity of integration and civil rights, I did, for example, I think it was a 13-city, or planned to be a 13, we ended up doing 7-city tour of arenas with Wilson Pickett using his band and me using my band. And the purpose of the expressed purpose of the tour was to bring my white fans and his black fans together. And Wilson also went out of his way to introduce me to the Apollo crowd, which was quite rare at that time as well. So we became sort of semi-activists. We weren't marching in the street at signs, but we were putting people together as a social experiment to see, you know, if that, and you know, with young people, it's not an egregious thing as it is with old folks in this country now. today's youth, and I know this because we have children and grandchildren now, but the young people today are more quickly ready to judge you by your character, by what you're worth as a human being, and by the color of your skin. And that was something we were blindly looking for back when I had started out. Then when I got away from the urban scenery and became sophisticated, I was living in New York City, where all the intelligentsia of the friggin' world lives, right? I mean, the first time that theory was debunked was when I had to start stepping over homeless people in Manhattan. I realized it wasn't the center of the universe at that point. So, but anyway, when I arrived,
wow,
somebody just
whoa,
don't flush that toilet again. Sorry. It's maybe there's so few planes leaving Chattanooga now. I thought maybe one had just crashed.
No, I think that's a storm in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's raining down on me here.
So anyway, you got me talking, but I lost my train of thought when we heard the talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating to me because for as long as it's been, sometimes it feels like we haven't gotten anywhere. And you being on the front lines of it then, and then having to see it all come back around again is got to be a very strange thing for you. I don't know. In your opinion, has it gotten better, or does it all just feel the same?
No, there have been changes, but one thing that has not changed. There was a city adjacent to the city of Detroit where I had a friend. And I took two of the black members of the group, the Peps that I was in, out to Dearborn. And the mayor of Dearborn was a staunch racist. And I'm driving along with the guys in the car, and I'm talking to them, and all of a sudden I look in the mirror, and I don't see them anymore. Like they had bailed, jumped out of the car. I'm going, what the fuck? Where? And they're crouched down, hiding, while I'm driving through Dearborn. And I said, what the fuck's wrong with you guys? What's going on? They said, we're in Dearborn. And I go, wow, what? How does that happen that you have to hide driving through a city? And we get pulled over, and I had my dad's car. And they took them to jail, and they let me go. And so law enforcement has not changed that much from what I had known in terms of young black men. But there have been other breakthroughs in different professions, in politics, in the middle class. There are changes, and there are a lot of places where the color of your skin does not determine your worth. Unfortunately, the pie that we're eating out of is only so big.
That's right.
And yeah. You know, nobody's willing to give up. It's like if I had 8 pieces of pie, and it was the last piece of pie I had, and you were the nicest guy in the world, and you wanted some of it, you begged for it, you marched outside my house for it, you wanted that piece of pumpkin pie, and it was the last one I had, I'd still be thinking about, man, this is going to be snowing on him.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to your original point, which was you're all just trying to make money.
Right.
In America,
money is God.
And
you can say all you want about religion and churches and the Christians and whatever, But there's nothing that money can't do in this country.
And that's why I just don't know. I just watched this Miles Davis documentary the other night.
I love Miles.
It just doesn't feel like much has changed. When you break it all down to what it's about and what is the core issue on a lot of it, yeah, it's about, you know, improprieties and how overwhelmingly racist some of just basic politics. But at the end of the day, it's all about money. And
it's about money. It's about opportunity. And like I said, we're living in the only pure capitalistic country left on the face of the earth. And there's nothing wrong with that, per se, except that, like I said, they only baked one pie, and it's only big enough. So you're going to, without education, without the funding for the education, without the opportunities being presented to not only minorities, pal, because I want to tell you something. We grew up poor. We were what you call white trash, okay? And so it's not just Latinos and blacks. It's white folk that can't bust through that economic barrier either. And so for that reason, I don't think it's racist. I think it's a class issue. And I think that would be addressed only through a revolution, probably.
Well, I tell you, I think there's so many stories that we could probably ask you about. There's probably so many twists and turns that we could dive into, and I hope that in the future we'll get another chance to weave our way through some of the sometimes ridiculous that
the stained fabric of my quilt.
Yeah,
he's got some good ones for
yeah.
Sure.
I hope we get to do it again soon. Good luck on the album, and hey, we'll be the first ones there when you want to play a song. We'll be the first ones to leak it.
Yeah, I'm not that way. I don't like to, leak things out. I'm going to finish it first.
Yeah.
We have a goal. We want to get the 16 songs recorded by November. And the reason we're taking our time is because of
you
the
got
virus.
Time.
What the hell else are we going to do? So tomorrow I'll be in the studio for half an hour. Why? Because I want to be able to come all year long. So,
yeah.
Nice.
But it's a good people. I don't care. I love the winters down here. I don't like the oppressive hot summers. I'm getting to know enough people to where I feel the friendship that's available and outreaching to folks that come down here. And it has nothing to do with it being the South. It just has to do with good people. The only thing is, I landed smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt, but not exactly the Bible Belt. We're actually under the buckle of the Bible
yeah.
Belt.
Yeah. So, I call it the gut sweat of yeah. the Bible Belt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And what can I tell you? That's where my faith is. But I don't believe in it as a business profession.
Yeah.
So that's and once again, money.
Well, you got a good tour guide in Barry Corder right up the road from you, so you're gonna be all right.
Well, he's also gonna be my sort of armored vest.
Yeah.
I'll just walk behind him.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Yeah.
That and shadows.
Yeah.
Vince, thank you so much.
Yeah, you have a good day, and you kind of know what's going on with me. I hope that this podcast thing, amongst the other ones that are out there, is attractive to people. I know it should be attractive to people in New Jersey, New York, because I know all of them creeps. And it should be attractive to people in Michigan. And I have some friends in Southern California, too. So there you have it.
All right. Thanks so much.
We welcome.
You're welcome.
We welcome all.
See you guys.
See ya.
Right. Hey, time for you to take another piss. I'll see you guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
The What Podcast, a podcast for Bonnaruvians by Bonnaruvians. There's Barry, there's Lord Taco, I'm Brad, great chat with Mitch Ryder, and I'm serious about this. If it wasn't for the storm that was tearing down my street or the audio issues and my phone dying, I would have talked to him for hours, and hopefully we can get him back on the show, because I feel like there's a lot of stories that he is dying to tell somebody. And I would like to be the guy that he, you know, just stumbles onto one day and decides to pour it all out. That would be pretty magical. I have a feeling we could sit around for an hour and a half just talking to Mitch Ryder if we wanted to.
Oh, he's got plenty of stories, and the name dropping is amazing. And that's the thing.
He loves the name drop, doesn't he?
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not like that. It's just real. It's when he says it, you know. He isn't kidding. You know what I mean? He's not name dropping. He's not trying to impress you at all. He doesn't care.
Taco, is Barry saucy today? He is really, really punchy.
No, look.
I like saucy Barry.
Look.
Saucy Barry, now available on OnlyFans.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you've been in this business. You've met celebrities, you've met people. I don't care. I don't care who you are. I am one. I'm overwhelmed. That you're talking to me.
Stunning, it's stunning, isn't it? It's stunning. Yes.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. The fact that you're talking to me means about as much as any of the other ones. So
I appreciate that, Barry. I really do. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Boy, I can really feel the love today.
You should.
There's so much positivity radiating here.
So speaking of Brad always being right, because I know that's what we were talking about. I was scrolling through, because I live in New Orleans now, and I was scrolling through a local New Orleans Instagram feed, and they happen to have a shirt that's printed Calliope with the proper pronunciation under the word.
No, it's Calliope,
and it says, "If you're not local, you don't know how to say the word." So, welcome to Brad being right. There's even a shirt that proves it.
You're not local.
I'm here now, and I know how to pronounce the word.
Ouch.
I know how to pronounce the word. The people here say it Calliope. Just like, okay, let me spell a word for you real quick, okay? B-U-R.
I can end this, Brad. What's the little city south of Ringgold?
That would be Lafayette.
How does the rest of the universe say it?
Okay. No, that's not correct. The rest of the universe does not say Lafayette. The only your universe says Lafayette. Only the people of Chattanooga and Lafayette say Lafayette. Nowhere else in the world in New Orleans say Calliope. No, nowhere in the world do they say... No, okay, so how would you say the colors of the Washington Redskins? Do you know the colors of the Washington Redskins?
I'm just going to guess yellow.
No.
Green.
It's burgundy and gold. But here, it's burgundy. So there are certain ways they say words that are different. And because Bonnaroo is essentially built out of New Orleans culture because of Superfly, it carries over. The reason why it's Calliope, and the reason why they say it's Calliope, by the way, is because nobody that still runs it is from New Orleans and has the Superfly connections anymore. But if you ask anybody with the Superfly connections what that word is and how you say it, they'd say Calliope.
Well, we asked the guys at C3, and they said Calliope.
Not part of any New Orleans culture like Superfly was. It dates back
to Greek mythology, right?
Yeah, the Calliope stage has nothing to do with New Orleans.
Has nothing to do with New Orleans. You can...
Wrong.
Okay. No, yeah, they moved the hill, too.
They moved the damn hill.
Calliope people moved the hill.
Barry, you've had 45 minutes to get the names of the Patreons.
Karen Sheets, Timothy Proctor, Aaron Carlson, Lisa Condor, David Grimes, Phil Hanley, Chloe Hannon, Benjamin Wells, Tori, where do you go? Musical Antlers, Mary T, Skylar, Melanie, and Jesse Feldman, Parker Reed, Dan Sweeney, Joshua Herndon, Lauren Edholm, Nick Yeatman, Tyrone Basket, Evan Brown, Ross McNamara, William Richards, Clay Wilhoit, Sean McCarthy, Ryan Mathewson, Chelsea Davis, Lucy Young, Jason Hazelbaker, DK, Linda Doles, Jacob Marty, Andrew T. McBride, Justin Nigro, David Salano, Catherine Riccio, Meredith Rittman, Daniel and Charlotte Horton, the Rubus folks, Sean McCain, David Henson, Brooke Tussey, Ella from Signal Mountain, and Taco, do you know who's our new person? We just got a new person. Do you remember?
Oh, you're going to make me read the name.
Yeah, You guys are putting me on the spot. I'm going to give a little love back. What was her name? Madison?
It's Madison. And you know what? I'll just put the name up on the screen so you can watch on YouTube and see the name. How about that?
We need to give her some love. She's new.
Yeah.
I mean, welcome, we got a new Patreon. That's amazing.
Welcome to the family, Madison. What you're seeing for the first time is, I think, I'll just put it this way. Barry, did you get a new shower head?
I see where this is going.
Right? Are you having some pressure issues?
Is this going to be our new direction?
Are you having some pressure issues over there in 2B, Jerry? Are you having some pressure issues? It's the water pressure.
It's been a swimming pool day. I told you that. It's been a swimming pool day.
All right.
Please watch on YouTube so you can see Barry's hair.
No. Please watch on YouTube so you can see my hair.
Nobody wants to see your hair.
You should. Damn it, you should. All right. Anything else
There's
to get through?
There's a screenshot right there.
Thank you. Anything else to get through today before we sign off until the next glorious day that we...
Are we done? I just opened a new beer.
You just throw... Yeah. What, hey,
How
what are we going to do?
Than any other day?
What are we going to do? Well, we need to talk about... And I don't know if we want to... I mean, we can edit this out, but everyone should have gotten their swag.
Oh yeah,
we need to get those guys on to talk about it. We need to have some debates about the mixtapes. We need to get pictures of everybody with their stuff.
This is a great idea. I meant to the white Hillary asked me about this last night. We need to see that we should do a poll, right? Of whose mixtape you like better, Brad, or Brad?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It would be nice to get some people on who have received and consumed the mixtapes and see what they think.
Yeah. They love it. They hate it. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't care. I'd like to hear some feedback and we also need to we talked about making the, mixtapes available to everybody, right? Maybe just open them up on Spotify and let people listen.
Whatever
we want to do, that's what
we can put out a playlist.
Yeah, I just want to hear that. And, you know, Russ, you created the phone.
The phone. You invented the phone, Russ. The phone,
yeah.
Congratulations. You did it, buddy. I can't
believe
it.
Here it is, right here.
We are.
the phone thing.
Alexander Graham Taco, right in front of us. Who knew we had him? What are we doing a podcast about Bonnaroo for? We've got the inventor of the phone.
We got the phone thingy. And I want to, you know, we need to give that number back out.
The number back out. Yeah. Do you remember what it is?
I know that the last four digits are taco.
You know, we really should not do shows in the afternoon anymore because Barry is all over the place today.
Yeah, I told you it's a pool day. The 423, was it 667 taco?
423-667-7877. And I'll put it on the screen.
Okay.
So there's something else for you to watch. So we set up a voicemail box where you can call in and tell us whatever you want to tell us. Tell us your favorite Bonnaroo memory. Tell us what you were looking forward to. In 2020, tell us
how much you like my hair.
Tell us how much you like Brad's hair. Tell us how to pronounce Calliope.
Calliope.
Tell us if they moved the hill or not.
They moved the hill.
Call in. Leave a voicemail. We'll listen to them. We'll play some on the air. We'll talk about them.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Leave a review of the
3667 taco.
In fact, 423-677-7877.
It could be you singing along to the mixtape.
That would be great, too. We would love to hear you sing some of the mixtape.
I love it.
Voicemail.
Yeah, and if you've gotten your Patreon package, send us the pics. Model it, my friend. Model the shirt.
Yeah.
Put the sticker
put the
on your nipples.
On.
I don't care what
put
you
the
need
sticker
to do.
On.
Let's see it. Let's see
show
it.
Show us what you're drinking in your koozie.
Show me that koozie. Yeah.
Show me that koozie.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. You know, we've got to figure out, like, I feel as though that the stuff that we are putting out may just be as interesting as Bonnaroo.
Well,
considering
there's not
there's
much
one.
Else being put out, yeah.
it's tough times. Tough times. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I want to see it. I want to hear what you think. And by the way, even if you don't like the mixtape, that's fine, too.
No, that's what I want
to
hear.
We're open to criticism.
That's the point of the mixtape. The mixtape is supposed to be a representation of you, the person making the mixtape, showing off and seeing if you can expose somebody to something different and new. And by the way, I re-listened to, of course, mine the other night. And
me too.
A lot of change, a lot of weird choices I made. I would have really made some different decisions. I'd like a re-edit. I'd like to go back and start this one over again. I'd like to redo the mixtapes. I'd like to do another version of them.
Well, that's the thing. We could make it a seasonal thing. Next season, when we reopen the tiers, we can put out a new mixtape.
Man, I'll go one step better. You could do it each season. Not the season of the show, but for winter, for fall, for spring, for summer. Like
yeah,
every... Every
we could make it a subscription. That's right. Absolutely.
Ooh, a subscription.
Yeah.
Interesting. Look at us
what I like
working
is
this out.
I actually listened to yours yesterday. I stumbled across it for some reason. There's actually a couple of artists on there that we might actually be able to get on the show that you had on yours and maybe some others. So,
is it repeat again?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not actually. I won't say who, because we may not get him, but I'm pretty sure we will. So.
I really like Taco found that one funny. I really made that. That makes me very happy.
I know.
I just love having repeat on.
Yeah. It would be really great if Jared just popped in right now, because he has access to the link.
He's,
he could just
he's still in here.
He
could sign, he could join the group. He could join the call.
Yeah.
Jared, if you're listening.
Yeah, I just, if we did, if he did sign in, I just want to hear Kristen say, "Be sweet." I just want to hear her yell from the other room. Be sweet.
Now, before the show started, he texted me. They're on their way back from camping, and she's listening to Taylor Swift. So we won't be hearing from them for a minute. Yeah. All right. There you go. Very random episode of the What Podcast. Be sure to, by the way, we don't say this enough. Thank you for, one, being a listener, being a viewer, being a Patreon to the What Podcast. But more than that, if you could... go to your iTunes store or anywhere you get the app or any on your app store anytime you get the show, wherever you get the show, be sure to rate it and review it. It really helps with the whole search feature thing in the algorithm stuff. That's a Taco question, but
it really does.
If you rate and review, even if it's a one, that's fine.
Yeah. Any interaction you can do, if you want to leave a review, if you want to share, if you want to give a thumbs up, a follow, a subscribe.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it helps a lot. All right, for Lord Taco, for Barry, I'm Brad. We'll talk to you sometime in the future on the What Podcast. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Hey. How y'all feeling? Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.